Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And we know that there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I'm excited because we are still in the book of Proverbs, and we know that this is the book of wisdom, and there's so much to be gained from every verse and every chapter within it. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we're going to have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, which during the time, you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Our host has set up a chat room that you can go there for that particular purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using, and I am so glad that you continue to share them with me. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour, again, is, are we standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Remember, Jesus Christ said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That is Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. So, the promise is that we will be made workers of the Lord, like the apostles were, and all of those other disciples, if we follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said again, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. 37. That is critical, my precious brothers and sisters. We must avoid judgment, for especially the spiritual part of our lives. And we know that it will be to us the same, and that's what's critical about it. Jesus said again, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Mark chapter 3, verse 25. So we know, if you want to call it a promise, that if your house is divided, it won't stand. Remember, we can't serve two masters, and that is what's critical in our lives today. because we try to do that. So, my brothers and sisters, the question to you, again, for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ? Now, before we get to the lesson, as I always do, listen, I want you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning, and I always delineate this for you, mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that's why we're here this hour together to study and to learn. Okay, so let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to be looking at one verse in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, in fact. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the verse to you. The instruction is, instruction used wisely will yield this. Now, if you're going to apply what verse 9 says, this is going to be your result. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser yet. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So, if you are going to be wise and listen, you're going to increase in your learning. And that is what Solomon is telling us. Now, to add emphasis to this, meaning the whole Bible, you can go from Genesis to Revelations and find good information on how this takes effect. But tonight we're going to look at what King David said in Psalms 15. Verse 1 through 6. Now listen, my brothers and sisters, this is to amplify what Solomon told Israel. This is what David says. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Listen, my brothers and sisters, if you're going to abide in God's tabernacle, if you're going to stand and dwell in this holy hill, this is what you must have and know. He that walketh uprightly is the one that will, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. My brothers and sisters listening out there, he that does these things shall never be moved. You will be successful this side of eternity. That's what David is telling Israel, and it's right in line with what King Solomon said in Proverbs 9:9. Now, let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how it's put in comparison and agreement with what we just read. We're going to go to 2 Timothy, verse 2, and we're going to be looking at or chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 22 through 26. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is the instruction that should apply to us more especially today since we're in New Testament times. 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 2, verse 22 through 26. Listen to what David or Paul taught Timothy. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Be but foolishness and unlearned questions avoid. You hear me, my brothers and sisters? Knowing that they do engender strife. That is not what wisdom is going to be a result for you. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who will take you captive at his will. That is the instruction that if you yield to this, you will be wise. My brothers and sisters, that is what Paul is teaching Timothy. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Much with a fool. Do not go with him who hath no sense. Pour not out many words where there is no hearing. This will yield better results. My brothers and sisters, these are good advices that are given to us through those writers of Scripture in the ancient Hebrew text. And it is worthy of note that you will yield a good result if you don't talk much with a fool and go not with him that hath no sense. Stay out of his way. Now we're going to go to our first break, and we'll go to the next instruction after the break.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In this verse, Jesus commanded his disciples and us to be wise as serpents. The word wise is the Greek word which means prudent, careful, cunning, discerning, thoughtful, intelligent, or sensible. This word perfectly depicts the behavior and actions of the snakes. They are very careful, discerning, intelligent, and prudent in how they act. It is fact that Jesus told us that we need to be as wise as serpents. There's obviously something Jesus wanted us to learn from the behavior of snakes. If you're squeamish about serpents and snakes, stay with me for the next moment so you can get the full impact of what Jesus was telling us. Remember, Jesus is the one who chose to use a serpent to make this point. So let's consider the behavior of serpents for a moment and see how this relates to us being wise in the way we live our lives. First, when serpents move into a new territory, they don't announce their presence. Instead, they lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment. As snakes evaluate a new situation, they see what kind of opportunities are in the area. They identify places of shelter. They find hiding places to protect themselves from the attack. They observe and see where they can find the easiest prey. When all these facts are assimilated, the serpent is ready to act, and Jesus said there is wisdom in a serpent's behavior from which we need to learn. Lesson. When God tells you or me to do something new, it is wisdom for us to move carefully into that new phase of our lives. A common mistake is to act too fast. Acting hastily before all the facts are gathered and assimilated can lead us to make erroneous decisions. In fact, one serious mistake can cause us to lose an opportunity altogether. It's better to lay low, stay quiet, and blend into the environment for a while, learning from the sights and the facts we observe. Second, serpents are wise enough to know when to seize the moment and strike. Knowing when to act is as important as knowing when to lay low. When prey passes before a serpent, that serpent knows it's time to strike. If the snake waits too long, the opportunity will pass, and the prey will reach an irretrievable position. Lesson. When it's time to act, put your fears and emotions aside and seize the moment. I have seen so many people pray and pray for divine opportunity to come to them. They wait for that golden moment to come, and at last, it does. A great door of opportunity stands directly in front of them. It's time to act. But rather than seize the moment and walk through that door, they pause just a little bit longer. God brought them exactly what they have been waiting for, but because they paused, they lost the opportunity. When they finally got around to saying yes, it was too late. You and I are not...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. Instruction number 20, 9. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 9 again. We're going to take several more verses and see what we can glean from the wisdom of Solomon. Verse 10 and 11 are the two verses we're going to look at. And what I want you to keep in mind as I read the two verses to you is this instruction. The fear of the Lord, it is the beginning of wisdom. My precious brothers and sisters, that is critical. The fear of the Lord. And that is what Solomon says is the beginning of our wisdom of God. Now, let's hear what he said in the verses. Verse 10 and verse 11, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. That is telling us that the wisdom of God is going to increase and multiply your days. And the knowledge of God, he is the Holy One, is going to guarantee it. My brothers and sisters, that is so significant. And just to add impetus to that, let's go to Job. Job chapter 28, and let's see how it worked for Job. Job chapter 28. We're going to look at several verses, and we're going to start off with verse 12. Listen to what Job said about wisdom. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? 20, he continues. He says, whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Verse 23 through 28, he concludes, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it, and declared it. He prepared it, yea, he searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. My brothers and sisters, that is so enormous to know that with God's wisdom lay the understanding that we need to live a life that is going to be creditable and successful this side of eternity. Now let's go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees. In Revelation chapter 15, we're going to look at chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. And listen to what the Spirit is influencing us in the book of Revelation saying. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. My brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're not fearing the Lord, if you do not have scruples fearing the Lord, you're in trouble, my brothers and sisters, because you're going to go down just like those who are outside of the faith, looking at what is happening around them, scared to death of that. And my brothers and sisters, God is the orchestrator of that. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must understand the difference between the fear of the Lord and the spirit of the fear of evil. And we know that Psalms 23 tells us, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you see, the fear of evil is what Paul talks about in 2 Timothy verse 1 through 7 when he says, God has not given us a fear, the spirit of fear. But my brothers and sisters, you got to realize that he's talking about the spirit of the fear of evil, meaning worldly fear, the fear of man. God has not given us that. We have received it because of the curse of the Garden of Eden, where we have the spirit of the fear of, we have the knowledge of good and evil. That gives us that spirit, that fear. But we must have the spirit of the fear of the Lord God, and that's the key that I'm trying to get to you in this particular lesson and instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back again to Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to look at several more instructions from chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verse 17 and 18. Verse 17 and 18. And this is the instruction that I want you to take from the reading of the two verses, is not free. My brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to share with you is because you are free from the law of man, you're not free from the law of God, because it overrides the law of man. Now, this is what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 17 and 18. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. My brothers and sisters, Solomon is telling us that just because we are above or the law of the land is in our favor, the law of God preempts that. And that's the law that we must have in our favor. So that is what we are thinking, that we are getting away with something, and we're not. And that's the key there. Now, Genesis will give us impetus to that to show us definitively why that is the case. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verse 6 through 19. And the reason I'm reading all of this is because this is what has caused us our destruction, more especially the flesh. And if we don't watch out, it would be the flesh and the spirit. And I see we've reached our second pause. Let's take a break, and then we come back and we'll finish the instruction.
Felt like I was, you know, stuck. It felt like I had a shadow of heaviness and a shadow of darkness over me that never left. Felt like I was expecting something bad to happen to me no matter where I went. No matter what I did, I expected something bad to happen. It definitely started sophomore year of high school. Fear and anxiety, panic attack, depression, like, you name it, I had it. I was still trying to go to school, but it, like, every day it was just, I couldn't take it. I would try to, you know, get out of class as much as I can because of panic attacks. So then finally, you know, I was able to ask my mom if I could be homeschooled, and then she said, yeah. So now that I'm homeschooled, I kind of, like, shielded myself in the house. I basically drowned myself out with video games so that I didn't have to think about my problems anymore. So I was playing video games from, like, sun up till whenever, and then as I'm trying to go to sleep, I can't really sleep. So I would worry myself all night for no reason, and then I would end up, like, throwing up. It was like I was in a, you know, in prison in my own head, and I couldn't get out of it because I couldn't even leave my house. You know, I couldn't even go a block away from my house without panic attacks and trying to get the driver to turn around and bring me back home. It's like I just couldn't leave. And then so it got so bad where I just finally went back to my mom and told her I couldn't take it anymore. And then she said, you got two options. You can either give it to God and let him take care of it, or you can go to the doctors and we'll get you on medication. And I didn't want to get on medication, so I said, if I didn't have to, I might as well try the other option. That's what I did. I started to read as, you know, read the word as much as I could. And when I came to church, I started to really try to pay attention instead of just sitting there. And it was like pastor was speaking to me, you know, like all the time. It was like his word was for me. That would draw me to come back more, which, you know, led me to meet Pastor Austin. And he encouraged me to come to youth, which I did. So now coming to youth and experiencing, like, you know, seeing kids my age, the way how they're having fun and they aren't worried about anything and how, like, I'm basically supposed to be living, So that was encouraging, and then it all started to change when I got involved as much as I can. Even though I didn't want to, you know, because obviously the enemy tried to keep me away from it, I would push myself. I would push myself to get involved where I could be around the right people, and I felt good. Once you came and did it, you felt good. You felt accomplished, and so it made me even feel better. And so getting involved, volunteering at any event I could, Women's Conference, I've, you know, volunteered in youth as much, now Rev Night as much as I can, really helped me in that process. So back then it felt like I had a heaviness over me that I couldn't shake. It felt like I was in darkness every day, all day, until, you know, I was able to actually come to God, give it all to Him, and it was like a light switch to where now I'm not in this dark place anymore. I'm like headed toward a light that's never ending, you know, it's always shining on you. So I just want to thank Pastor David, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Austin, and the whole Faith Church community for helping me through the time of need and being so caring and loving when I needed them to be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, to continue on this particular instruction, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 6 through 9, and this is telling us why free is not free, because of our situation in life, the inheritance brought us. Listen to what Genesis says. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree that be desirous to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That was what was free, but it was not free. Listen. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that thou were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not to eat thou of? And the man said to God, The woman thou gave me caused me to eat the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and ye shall bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, because you've done this. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of, that the day you eat you will surely die. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken, but thus thou came, and thus thou shalt return. My brothers and sisters listening out there, that is what we lost. So what we think is free is not free. And that is so critical for us to know. Now let's go to the New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at chapter 8 in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read some verses there. We're going to read verse 1 and then verse 17. And listen, this is going to substantiate. This is going to compare and agree with what I just told you, that free is not free. Listen to what Paul told the Corinthians. He said in verse 1, Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. Now, verse 7 through 13 gives us the details. How about, how be it, there is not in every man that knowledge? For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we are the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest any means this liberty, this freedom of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. Remember I'm saying free is not free. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be embroidered, emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish from whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat makes any brother to offend, I will not eat any flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So what Paul has given us is an example of freedom is not free. And that is the truth, because even though we can eat of it because it is not offensive to God, but we are offending God's creation to sin and make it offensive. So that takes away the freedom. And that's what this is, what Paul is telling us. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must be very careful about what we do in the front of others. We just can't say, do as I say and not as I do, because that doesn't work. Just like drinking and smoking. It's not sin, but some think it is, and we have to be careful for those who think it is, because we are offending them. And we should not want to do as Paul just suggests, be offensive to our brothers, more especially those who are of the household of faith. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Proverbs chapter 10 this time. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 10, and we're going to read some verses out of 10. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read this instruction or the text verses to you, the scripture verses. This is the instruction, a wise and a foolish son. This is what Solomon is telling. He's telling it to Israel specifically. This is a wise and a foolish son. It is chapter 10 and it's verse 1 and verse 5. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And verse 5 completes the thought. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. So it's telling us the difference between being wise and being foolish. And if you are foolish, you're going to hurt your parents and hurt yourself. But if you're wise, you're going to make them happy, and you'll be successful with God. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17, and Jeremiah even emphasizes this. He's telling us in chapter 17, turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 5 through verse 10. And look how critical Jeremiah puts this about wisdom and foolishness. This is what Jeremiah says to Israel. He's prophesying. He says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. He's wise, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see what heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, or neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And with that, let's go to our break, and then when we come back from the break, we'll continue with the lesson.
Mm-hmm. I want to share a very important philosophy with you today. It's a philosophy I think everyone should hear. Proverb 6, 8:11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Here's the five philosophy that we can learn from ants. Ants have no commander. Ants don't need a commander to tell them to get started. They work faithfully and need no outside accountability to keep them doing right and doing the right things. They work hard and will replace their anthill when it gets ruined. Meaning, if you want to apply this in your real life, be proactive, be honest to yourself, and be industrious. Ants plan ahead. Ants think winter all summer long. They store provision in summer. They think the clock is running out of time, and they are hurrying to get food back to their hive. Meaning, they hustle hard in advance to secure their future. Ants stay positive, always. Ants remind themselves that winter does not last long. They know they'll soon be out. Meaning, whatever happens in your life right now, it will not last forever. Ants never quit. They only change their approach. If they're going somewhere and you stop them or block their pathway, they'll look for another way up, down, all around. They keep looking till they find another way. Meaning, be learned to embrace struggle and hardship in your life. Be flexible and be like ants who don't quit. Winners are not quitters. Ants always do their best, meaning give your best in everything you do right now. It will always lead you to the greater things and the next level in your life. Thanks for watching this video. Share.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, I did break up the instruction. We were talking about a wise and a foolish son, the difference between the two, and what Solomon says about the benefits and the detriment to both. And Jeremiah was substantiating that, telling us through his prophecy, and we were at verse 9 that tells us where we get confused and where we fall short of the glory of God because of that. And this is what Jeremiah completed his thought on that, or his prophecy, with verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord God, searcheth the heart, he said. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. Being wise, you will profit. Being foolish, you will be wanting. So that's what we're looking at. Now we're going to compare and agree. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to see how Jesus puts it, comparing and agreeing. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start with verse 24, and then we're going to go through verse 29. And listen to how Jesus puts it. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does not them, I liken him unto a foolish man, which built his house upon sand. And the rains descended and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So we can see the difference between the wise and the foolish. And in this world, what we're talking about, those who follow God's words and commandments and laws, they are wise. Those who do not, they are foolish. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the fear of man only is foolishness. Jesus says, better to fear him that can kill and cast into hell than him that cannot, that can only kill the body. And that's what we must understand, that we are doomed if we do not fear the Lord God and keep his commandments. That is foolishness not to do that. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back again to Proverbs. We're going to look at chapter 10 this time in Proverbs. And in chapter 10, we're going to look at many verses, and all of these verses are going to be directed at what the instruction tells us. Listen to this instruction. The results, meaning the process of wickedness and righteousness. That's something. It adds with being wise and foolish or foolish. This is what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 10 about wickedness and righteousness. Verse 2 and 3 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He continues with 6 and 7. Verse 10, chapter 10, 6 and 7 says, blessings are upon the head of the just, that's the righteous, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Verse 11 continues. Verse 11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Verse 21 continues. It says, the lips of the righteous feed many. The fools die for want of wisdom. 24 continues, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. 25, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. And verse 28 through 30 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but the destruction shall be to the workers of the iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. And that 32 completes the thought. The lips of the righteous shall know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked shall speak its forwardness. My brothers and sisters, I read so much of chapter 12 because it's so significant to letting us understand the difference between the wickedness and the righteous, what they shall receive. And listen to what King David said in Psalms 37, verse 16 through 20. He's going to give us a mouthful in amplifying what his son, King Solomon, said. Listen to what King David told Israel. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the many riches of the wicked. For the arm of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright are the righteous, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke they shall consume away. So we can see how significant it is between wickedness and righteousness. And now let's go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, and we're going to see how Jesus put it in chapter 25 of Matthew. We're going to look at several verses. And again, this is telling us that the wickedness is not favorable with God, but righteousness is. This is what Jesus said. Listen to what he said in this parable. Chapter 25, verse 34, he said, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. 37 continues, Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? Then verse 40 continues, and the king shall answer and say unto them, the righteous, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You see how significant righteousness is, my brothers and sisters? Now listen to what he said about the wicked. Chapter 45 continues. It says, then answered them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did this, or I should say, 41 says, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, or the wicked, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And 45 tells us why. And 46, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these my brethren, ye did not do it unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. My brothers and sisters, Jesus says it plain as day, that the righteous shall inherit the earth, the wicked shall inherit damnation. And that is so significant. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And I see we're at the last pause or break. Let's take that, and then we'll complete the thought of the lesson.
You will never succeed more than you fail. That's not how it works. You know why? Because failure is a wonderful teacher. It's the only way to learn. You have to fail. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player in the world, he took 946 game-winning shots. He has only made 146 of those. He has missed over 700 times, but he has made 146. You know what they write about? When you make it. They write about when you make it. So guess what? When you get to failing, all you got to do is make one. Matter of fact, when you fail, be glad about it. Every time you fail, you one step closer. Every time you fail, say, whoo, got that out the way. Go to the next one. Fail again? Okay, I got two out the way. What's going to happen is if you just keep swinging, you're going to get a hit.
Do not fear failure, but please be terrified of regret, as giving up is the birth of regret. You will receive 100 doors slammed in your face. You will have 100 moments that will be filled with someone telling you no. But what I ask of you today is to not take no for an answer. Don't be afraid of no's. Be afraid of the possibility of a yes that you have prematurely destroyed because you decided to quit before the clock strikes 12. I love a good no. Please tell me no. Telling me no is like adding fuel to a fire that is now set ablaze because of your single no. I love additional reasons to work harder. Please give me a reason.
You better go inside. You still looking outside for the stuff that's already inside. You still looking for someone to save you when you already your superhero. You looking for some information from somebody when you already got what you need in your head. It's just time for you to get up and be the best version of you.
I challenge you to challenge yourself. I challenge you to stop thinking that where you are is enough. I challenge you to go beyond hurt. I challenge you to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I challenge you.
And the problem with some of you in this room, you will never be great because every time you go through pain, every time you go through a problem, every time you go through discouragement, you give up and you quit and you do not understand that at the end of pain is your million. At the end of pain is your reward. At the end of pain is your productivity. At the end of pain is your promise. So do me a favor, stop crying about it and use your energy to get through it. That's what lions do. And if you are a true lion, it does not make a difference what the circumstance is. Lions don't cry. Lions don't give up. Lions don't quit. Lions hunt. We turn tragedy into triumph. That's what we do for a living.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on the instruction of the result and the process of wickedness and righteousness. And we can see from what was read that we want to be on the side of righteousness. That's where eternal life resides. The other side of the wickedness is where condemnation and damnation resides. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must gauge wickedness and righteousness by the amount of gifts and fruit we receive from God and from the Holy Ghost. That's a good point I want to make you aware of, my brothers and sisters, that we can measure and know if we are pleasing God. We know that Jesus the Christ, he told us that hereby is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And so our measure are the fruits, and I would add the gifts of God. We know that Paul gave us the identification of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts, wisdom, knowledge, faith, and he went on to identify healing and miracles and testimonies and faithfulness and diver kinds of tongues and interpretation of diver kinds of tongues. And then with the fruit, he identified them in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, when he identified love and joy and peace, and he identified long-suffering and gentleness and faithfulness. He identified goodness and meekness and temperance, and he said, against such there is no law. So we know that those gifts and fruits are critical and we to our righteousness, and that's how we measure our righteousness with God. And, of course, we know if you read through Scripture, basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, you will find many, many more attributes to the Spirit that God gives the gifts and fruit that we can measure and know that we are right with God because of them. And, of course, we know that Jesus, too, told us that without him, in John chapter, I believe it is 15, that we can do nothing, and that he's the vine, and we are the branches, and the branches have to bear fruit in order to fulfill godliness, and that's so critical. So what we need to realize is that that's so significant to us, and we need to know the difference between the two, and we know that we can measure that. And so that which is not of the gifts and fruits of God, that is the wickedness. And it doesn't matter how much money you have or how much power you have in this world or how much, you know, possessions you have, that is not going to give you what you need to be saved. So that's what I want you to get and understand from this particular instruction. That's critical. Now let's go to the last instruction for the evening. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs. We're going to go back to chapter 10. We're going to take another instruction from chapter 10. We're going to be looking at several verses, 8 through 10, 14 and 17. And this is what I want you to get from as I read the scripture text to you. I want you to realize this is the instruction. This is the way to success. So I gave you a lot of information already on righteousness and wickedness, on foolishness and wisdom, and we should know that this is a culmination. Solomon is telling Israel in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8 through 10, listen to what he says, and this is how he starts, and this is how you will be successful. He says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with an eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Again, he's telling us how to be successful and how to fail. And this is so significant. We're going to go down to verse 14. It continues, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of foolishness is near destruction. Verse 17, he concludes his thought by saying, he is in the way of life that keepeth instructions, but he that refuseth reproof errors. So Solomon is telling us that we must continually walk in the commandments and laws of God. And that is the way that we're going to be successful. Not walking in the laws and the commandments of God, we're going to fail. And that is why we are studying here tonight and looking at this closely, because the wisdom is to be righteous. It's foolishness to be wicked. And now let's go and see what Solomon said about it more emphatically. We're going to turn with me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1 through 6. Now listen to what Solomon said again, and this is in a time when Solomon was older, as the Jewish sages identify the writing of this particular book. He was in his old age, and this is what he concluded. He said in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1 through 6, "Who is the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandments," meaning God, "and that regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand in an evil thing, for he does whatsoever pleases him." God knows. You can't hide from God. Verse 4 says, "Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, knowest, or what dost thou? Whosoever keepeth the commandments, the laws of God, shall feel no evil thing, shall fear for sure no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him." And you know why that's so significant, my brothers and sisters? Because Solomon tells us that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose up under the sun. We have to make sure to be successful that we stay within the parameters of the gifts and fruit and the laws and the commandments of God. Because this is how Solomon concludes his thought. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty and matter of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So, my brothers and sisters, wickedness is going to be before God, and it's going to receive its value. And righteousness is going to be before God and receive its value. And I'll tell you that righteousness is going to be successful. Wickedness is going to perish. And this is what it, and now let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to see how Jesus put it to us, comparing and agreeing today. Listen, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verse 24 first, and this is what Matthew chapter 6 says. Listen, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." My brothers and sisters, you can't be wicked and righteous at the same time. You must serve either or. And this is why verse 31 through 34 completes the thought. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But listen, my brothers and sisters, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient are the evils of this day to overcome and be conquered." Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that basic instructions before leaving earth is our way to success with God in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, this concludes the lesson for tonight, and I like to tell you that on behalf of the host and I, we would like to thank you and for your participation, and bless you for your encouragement. Good night.
for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Please join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope you were blessed by our program, and good night.